today. So let's give a great welcome to Reverend Milton Martin Jr. this morning. Amen.
Mind if we put this down there? I like to get close to the people. Amen. Now the well, thank you. I go to a lot of churches. They want to hide the preacher from the people at the end of the service, but I want to be with the people. That's what I'm here for. It's not about me. It's about the people and about Jesus. Well, we're going to have a wonderful time today. Turn to somebody and tell them God's going to get you with a miracle today. We are going to have a move of God. Absolutely. God's going to get you with a miracle. It's so good to see Danny and Rita Adams with us. Danny and Rita, stand up right over there. Lord, I love them. Amen. If I start calling people, might forget. But we love you guys. We appreciate them so very much. We held a great revival with them when they pastored over in the Coal Mountain area or whatever it was. I forget that we had to go through there. But I never will forget, we gave a word of knowledge about somebody that had the band was dying. He was at home. And while I gave that word, he instantly was touched. They called and said he just got healed. Amen. That's just wonderful what God will do. And so I'm here to be like Balaam's donkey to tell you if you're on the wrong road now, I'm going to tell you. And about like Peter's rooster to tell him he's backslid. So, we don't have any whales. Maybe you already swallowed, all right? Even though I am a little bigger than I used to be, I've put a lot of chicken and cake in the ministry and pies. Hint, hint. Amen. David, it is wonderful to be with you, brother. How many times I've thought about the graveside service you did for Robin and how that I'd never heard that word used in a Christian setting concerning the gospel minister that's a soldier of the cross, how that he was a casualty of war. I never had thought of that, but I've thought about that a lot of times. But I'd rather, they used to sing a song, Rita, I'm on the battlefield for the Lord, right? And another old song that said, I'd rather die in the Lord's service. Because you're going to die. If the rapture don't take place, you're out of here. They're going to roll you right up here. That's right. And what you did by the time your last breath and the silver cord is cut, it'll be too late to repent. It'll be too late to do anything for anybody. It'll be too late to make things right. It'll be too late. But we are, right now, living in the last of the last days. The original, when Paul said in the last days, Timothy, it'll be dangerous. He was meaning in the original, in the last of the last days. Because he said those were the last days then. His last days had begun when Jesus lived and died and rose again. So we're nearer now than when we first believed. And now we are the generation that will see either the coming of the Lord, and I hope you are in a position after we leave here today that you are ready for however the Lord comes for you. You do not want to get left on this earth. You do not want to face the just wrath of God on a Christ-rejecting, idolatrous, adulterous, a rebellious world. You do not want to face that. You live in this life that you're going to go through hell at times, but I'd rather go through hell for God and have comfort and have peace and have someone to come to and someone that understands that somebody that's already treb the wine press before I got there. Amen. That understands. Because if you're righteous, there's going to be times when you suffer. If you're wicked, you certainly are going to suffer. But there is no hope. Is no hope for the wicked. No hope. All we have in this life is the hope of Jesus Christ. Amen. And the hope of heaven. Hallelujah. Lord God, since the Lord saved me, it don't take but a half a verse. Sometime I'll run. Amen. I'll jump a pew. Amen. One of these days I'm going to jump and not going to get back. I can tell you, it's going to happen. It's going to happen. If you don't know it by now, I'm a Pentecostal. Amen. Old time Pentecostal person, just like the book of Acts. Well, that's not my sermon, but it is part of it. Expect God to do great and mighty things. I do know that the well that we dug at Andean Motor Company in 1994, 95, 96, in the big yellow gospel tent, they let me put a tent up out there. And to tell you how fruitful for God this area is, if we would just plow and plant and be prepared together, what somebody else has planted, what somebody else has plowed, what somebody else has watered, God is ready to give the increase. There was a woman came in there from Ricky Stepp's church. I think he pastors at Dawsonville. And the woman had never been able to have a baby. Well, that's what they said about me, Danny, before I got saved. Said, we'd never have any children. I got saved and we got six. Amen. So I'm just saying all I needed to do was just get born again and everything else just worked out fine. Of course, one was adopted. Anyhow, she couldn't have no children. And so a lot of times you remember that God has called us to ministry. Freely you have received, Jesus said, freely give, correct? So wherever you've been under attack in your life, I don't care what it is, spirit, soul, body, finances, health, it does not matter, mental, emotional. That's where when you get healed, you will become very anointed in that area because you know how to be touched with the feeling of somebody else's infirmity. So when God saved me off of a 4-year sick bed with 3 back operations, by the time I was 20 and a half years old, that's right. And so I've had an anointing for barrenness of all kinds, and then bones and muscles and backs and necks and shoulders. Well, God, we'll just believe God to do it all. I just about got it covered. But anyhow, this woman come in, couldn't have children. And so I laid hands on her. Before I did, though, I told her, I said, now, lady, you know, let me share something with you. I said, I pastored over at Living Word until last of May, 1988. God let me be a pastor to understand pastors. Always been a prophetic evangelist. That's what God called me to be. The audible voice of God came in my home. Came in my home on Stevenson Road. I turned around to see the voice that spoke to me. I'd been fasting 10 days and intended that God would speak to me. But I didn't know. I wasn't asking him to speak audibly, but that he would talk to me about my calling. I knew you just couldn't be anything in this business just because one was better or more prosperous or more convenient or the sacrifice was less. You had to be what God ordained you to be. And he spoke to me to do the work of an evangelist. So I was in this church where a lady over at Cumming, the McCulloughs, she had adopted 7 kids. And I'm Doug and Linda's pastor, Robin and Wendy's pastor, and others that may be some of them here today. But Linda was coming through the altar while I was real anointed during a church service. I believe it's Sunday morning. I said, now, Linda, if you'll be still, God will give you your own child. Well, she honored her pastor and stopped. And I laid hands on her. And in 9 months, Elizabeth came. From then on, she said, Pastor, stay away from me. Stay away from me, Pastor. Stay away. And I mean that in the right way. Amen. But I had an anointing for youngins to cure barrenness, like a prophet of the Lord. But anyhow, back to this lady. She never had had any babies. And so that woman, I don't know where that woman got home, not or not, Danny, before she's expecting. I don't know if she made it to the house, but she was expecting. And she had a baby weighed 13 pounds when it got here. Yes. So I've got one of them double anointings for whatever you need today. And I give the Lord all the praise. I told Jensen Franklin that my grandmother Evans accepted the gospel, the full gospel message of Pentecost when it came through the Dawsonville, Murrayville, Price Road, down below Dahlonega, halfway between Gainesville and Dahlonega, a message of the baptism of the Holy Ghost with the divine evidence of speaking in tongues. And the message was, it's holiness or hell. That God values holiness. Amen. Holiness of life. Amen. And I told him, I said, when we get to heaven, he won't be looking for me and you. He's going to be looking for Nellie Evans and my grandmother, great-grandmother, that brought that message. And that message that she taught us was that there was nothing impossible with God. Three mantles that woman left our family. A mantle to pray. A mantle to see signs and wonders and miracles when and after we prayed. Not us. It ain't about Martins. It's about Jesus. If it's not about him, it's about nothing. Amen. But then to walk in love. To walk in love. Now that part of it, I'm working on. And oh yeah. Oh yes. Oh yes. And I do know that since I got saved that 99% of it works, so there'd have been a lot of them facing a dental orthodontist if there hadn't have been for the power to walk in what I've got conquered, you know what I'm saying. Amen? Well, he didn't invite me but for one service, so I've given you a whole lot of stuff there for you to digest. I want you to do this with me, though. Somebody said, what's that wrong with your voice? That's what we call a holiness croup. How about that water? I just got out of a great tent revival that we held in the very country where Jensen Franklin and Katie, his mother, and all of those Stone family and Franklin family was born and raised and broke every record. God broke ever a record. Those people waded through water in the tent to find a seat. Wow. Rained so much. Wow. But we had over 350 in the tent. I never had but 250 in my life.
Wow. Praise God.
Lynn, honey, stand up. Let them see how beautiful you are. Quick. She's what keeps me coming home at night. And Jesus, of course. Turn with me very quickly to the 14th chapter of the book of St. John. And if you would stand for the reading of God's Word. Amen. Turn to somebody and tell them, put your ears on this morning. Yeah. Y'all look familiar. Of course, a lot of you do. I tell you what, beautiful people. Amen. Y'all going to be doers of the word after I leave here? Are some of you still hanging around hearing instead of doing? Amen. You going to be doers? You know, doers of the word see a whole lot different about life and God and victory and even how to handle getting knocked down. Amen. Oh, yeah. Hallelujah. Amen. They asked me what I was going to preach on this morning. I said, I'm going to preach on hell. Now I'm playing with you. But although I do preach a lot on heaven and hell and the coming of the Lord. Oh, yeah. It's still a Bible message. It used to be the staple of a real church. You had to stay ready all the time. Amen? Heaven to gain, they said. Hell to shun. Now I'm going to talk about comfort. I'm going to talk about what to do in trouble. I'm going to talk about something like this because we live in very troubled times. John chapter 14, verse 1. Let not your heart be troubled. Look at that. Hold on just a minute. That's not a suggestion. Amen. That is a command. Yes. That is a command as great as thou shalt not commit adultery. Or thou shalt not steal.
Amen.
Come on. Yeah. Thou shalt not murder. Thou shalt not bear false witness. It is not a suggestion. It is a command.
Amen.
Father, thank you for the anointing on your word. Give this man of God that feels so pitiful and helpless the word of the Lord in my mouth, and let me not go beyond the command of the Lord are less than the command of the Lord. God, give them what they need to hear, for they hold the key to the souls of multiplied millions of people. Because you know, Lord, it doesn't take everybody. It just takes somebody to preach this gospel. And you've made a promise, Lord, that when the gospel of this kingdom is preached as a witness to all nations, then the end is going to come. And it is upon us now. We know it. And we're preparing ourselves for you to prepare us to do what it is that must be done before the night shades fall and there's no more man can work. We'll give you praise. Search our hearts. Know our thoughts. Not if, Lord. But where there be anything, spirit, soul, body, sinning against ourselves, someone, heaven, the Word of God, grieving the Holy Spirit, wherever there has been wrong, forgive it now and wash it. Lord God, hear us as we pray. Hear us as we cry out to you. Now take away all hindrance, and we'll give you praise for meeting every need. Walk through this place, saving and healing and delivering the people.
Yes.
And we'll be quick to give you the praise for it. In Jesus' name, and everybody said,
Amen.
And you may be seated. Let not your heart be troubled. To be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. He makes a promise that he's going away, but he's going to come again. And he's going to prepare a place for us. What comfort. And that was the reason the Apostle Paul said, if only in this life we have hope, we are men most miserable.
Right.
If only in this life. You know, one of the things that came out in my study of when he got to the point where he said, believe in God, believe also in me, I ran across the text in the book of Daniel. It says, and they that know, no, not head knowledge, because you know God with your head, but that won't do you a lot of good. See, there's a lot of head knowledge religion in the land. But when, I could just tell you that I met Lynn and I know Lynn and I know her mom and her daddy, but unless there is a biblical knowing goes on, you're not going to have children. The knowing of God and the knowing of one another brings an intimacy that produces fruit. It produces action. Amen? It's like that plane, you know, that was starting to crash. And they'd been passing that liquor and stuff around on there. But then when the pilot came on and said, you know, they're telling all kind of dirty language and stuff. But when the pilot came on and said, we're in trouble, then, oh, hallelujah, God, work a miracle, right, Danny? Come on, get the spare tire on quick. And that's the way people that know of God with their head, but they don't know Him with their heart. Are you listening? Amen. Let not, do not allow. Let meaning the old English word for allowing. Do not allow your heart to be troubled. Key is believing in God with your heart and not your head. And if you believe in God and God says, I've sent you my son. And out from heaven, He told them, believe on Him. This is my son. Believe on Him. I'm well pleased with Jesus. God still, by the Holy Spirit, is saying, this is my beloved son, Jesus. Trust Him. Believe on Him. I have confidence in Him. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Let not. So there has to be a decision where we do not allow. Now wait a minute. When you've set up boundaries in your heart about Jesus Christ, amen, and about many things, you've set up a boundary that you are not going to allow it to be crossed once you've made up your mind. Look, I love the Muslim. I love the Hindu. I love the Buddhist. Come on. I love the Mormon. I love the Jehovah Witness. Do you hear me? And all, and Mr. Moon, but he don't outshine my son, Jesus. And my son, Jesus. Amen. The S-O-N. Amen. Hear me? But it won't do them any good to talk to me about how their God or their deity or whatever is right and mine is wrong, because I'm intimately, and He walks with me and He talks with me and He tells me I am His own, and the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. It won't do any good. Yet when they knock at the door, I've had them knock at the door, little boys in the white shirts, or the Jehovah Witnesses or whoever's, the cults, and saying, we want to talk to you. And God wants us to love people and be polite to people, correct? And what I always do, by the time I finish talking to them about how much that we are glad to see them and all, I said, now here's what we're going to do. I'm going to give you 15 minutes first, and I'm going to take the last 15 minutes. And the next thing you know, something, my phone rings or something happens, and they got to go. Because it's not going to do them any good to talk about something they know with their head that I know intimately with my heart. With my heart. With a cleansed heart. Not with the blood of lambs and bulls and turtle doves. Amen. But with the blood of Jesus, Milton Martin Jr.'s heart that was desperately wicked above all things, Jeremiah said, has been made clean with the blood of the Lamb. See? A cleansed heart. Not an indoctrinated heart, but a washed and a cleansed heart. Amen. Hallelujah. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. I'll show you a difference. They that know their God shall be strong and shall do exploits. Do you know what drove John Wesley to be saved, the founder of the Methodist Church? Now, there's still a few real, genuine John Wesley Methodists around. They gave all of us Pentecostal, full gospel, charismatic, word of faith people the doctrine of sanctification, that it wasn't enough just to be justified, like Martin Luther said, that the just shall live by faith, but you had to be sanctified. You must live a holy life. Correct? That was what was given to us. Brother Hagin taught it. Absolutely. Amen. So here he is, had left Fort Oglethorpe, hit down at Savannah, a defeated Anglican missionary on the ship, knowing that he had failed as a missionary because he was not saved. He knew more about the Bible than you and me put together. Him and the holy club he was a part of lived a holier life just through setting up boundaries to live for God and taking the commands of God as they were. The historians say he lived a holier life than a lot of quote Christians that know about God, that's had a experience of emotionalism rather than a heart experience, a crisis experience with Jesus. See, so there's a lot of difference between people coming to God and shaking the preacher's hand and signing the card to join the church. There are those, amen. A good example would have been the Brownsville revival, where repentance would hit the place, conviction would hit that church at Brownsville Assembly, and they would run down the middle aisle screaming, "God, have mercy on me," and dive into the altar and slide in and repent. Not chewing gum, looking around, grinning, but weeping heartfelt tears before God. Let Wesley knew all the religion, all the do's and don'ts, but he never had trusted in Christ as his Savior. But on that ship, they had three hurricanes hit that ship. And the Moravians that were on that ship were Holy Ghost filled believers. Matter of fact, in this area, all the way in to up to the northeast and in part of the west, the Holy Ghost tongue talking Moravian people planted churches and got the American Indians, many of them saved, many hundreds of years ago. But they had real heartfelt Christianity. And when those hurricanes would hit, and people, the English and the people of the ship, except for the Moravians, are screaming and crying, "We're going to die, we're going to die." But the Moravians were worshiping together, lifting their hands, worshiping together. And Wesley came to him and says, basically, "Are you people crazy? We were on the verge of dying, and here you all so peaceful, so full of joy, so full of God, and so assured that everything was going to be all right." And they said, "Mr. Wesley, you're not saved." And he said, "Yes, I am." And he said, "No, you're not." They said, "If you were born again, you would have not been afraid. We're not afraid to die for our Lord. We're not afraid to die and go to heaven from the sea or from the land." And they told him, said, your fear that is paralyzing you, your fear that makes you in doubt of your eternal well-being, where if we had drowned, would you went to heaven or hell? You was unsure about your salvation, but we were sure about ours. That impression of having the peace that Jesus spoke of when he said, "Don't allow yourself to be afraid in these troubled times." Listen to what he said here in John 16, verse 31. "Do you now believe? Indeed, the hour is coming, yes, but now come, that you will be scattered each to his own and will leave me alone. And yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me. These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. The things that Jesus says that we do, that we believe, that we abide in. It didn't matter what I asked me and Robin's grandmother, Granny Evans, the pioneer of Pentecost in northeast Georgia, to pray about. She'd say, "Everything that belongs to him, son." Jesus was the Father's, and the Father gave it to him, and he's given everything to us. If my word, John, I believe 15:7 says, if my words abide in you, and I abide in you, and you live and abide in me, you can ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. We're talking about abiding in the Lord, living in the Lord, and the Lord living in us. Yes. Amen. See, I hadn't said a lot about the trouble. Let not your heart be troubled, you see. But you see, Job said in Job 14:1 said, a man born of a woman is of a few days and full of trouble. Full of trouble. We have lived to see 2 Timothy 3 come to pass where Paul told Timothy, in the last of the last days it will be dangerous. Perilous. Perilous. Now, if you don't get a hold of not allowing yourself to fall apart when you as a believer have to live in the world that the sinners, the backsliders, and the wicked live in, why would make them want what we got if we're tormented? We have to drink ourselves to sleep, dope ourselves to go to sleep. Come on, give enough nerve medicine to make somebody stagger around in broad daylight because we can't handle what's going on. Why would they want our Jesus, this promised peace? Isaiah 9, he is the Prince of Peace. My grandmother used to tell me, see, you didn't know this, but she lived on a piece of property. You go up 130 Kylo Road, up 136 toward Gainesville, and she called the place where she lived Hale's Little Half Acre because she got saved before Grandpa did, and Grandpa and his family had bootlegged liquor out of Dawson County. You just don't put bootlegged White Lightning Dawson County liquor in a three-quarter Cherokee. You just don't do that. Somebody's going to get the you-know-what beat out of them, and it just happened to be her at times, and my mama. So she understood what Jesus said from the book of John when he said these words, I'm not alone. That's where Granny felt. That's the way I feel. You must feel this way if you're not going to allow yourself to be troubled. Do you like being troubled when trouble comes? I really do believe that God would lift a lot of the trouble out of our lives if we would patiently let patience. Granny used to say this. She'd say, Junie, I was junior. Junie, let patience have her perfect work, son, that you may be complete and lack nothing. Can you believe it? Paul got to the point to where he said, I take pleasure in trouble. Is he crazy? I take pleasure in tribulation. Huh? Look at here. Word wealth. Jack Hayford's word wealth from Strong's Concordance. Tribulation, the word. Pressure, oppression, stress, anguish, tribulation, adversity, affliction, crushing, squashing, squeezing, distress. Imagine placing your hand on a stack of loose items and manually compressing them. That is thalipsis, putting a lot of pressure on that which is free and unfettered. The lips of this is like spiritual bench pressing. The word is used of crushing grapes or olives in a press. Jesus said these words. Listen to this. In me, you'll have peace. In the world, you will have tribulation. But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Granny always turned that scripture around a little bit, and she'd say, now, Junior, she'd say this. Jesus never said it would be easy for a minute, but he did say he would go with us all the way. He would be with us all the way. He would never leave us or ever forsake us. That's what she used to say. And then she'd finish up and she'd say, "Now, Junie, he said in the world we're going to have tribulation, but he said in me you'll have peace." It's right there. She just twisted it around a little bit where us country boys could understand it. In the world, you're going to have tribulation, pressing like pressing oil out of grapes. That's high pressure. Is it every minute? No. Is it sometimes every day? No. But if we hadn't made up our mind that we're not going to allow ourselves to be troubled when there is trouble, then the next thing you know, the neighbors and the children and everybody we're trying to win to God says, and it don't work. And back to my story about Wesley. The reason he wanted to be saved was because he found out that they had a salvation that would bring peace in the midst of trouble. And he wanted it. He wrote in his diary, "I came to Georgia to save sinners, but oh God, who's going to save me?" That's what he put down there. Who's going to save me? But he had found the secret when he found people that was going through the circumstances, or what they say now, that life is just happening. But they had peace. They said, "Mr. Wesley, we don't know what kind of religion you got. When you're given the same menial, drudgerous task that we're all given on the ship, you murmur, you grumble, you complain, you act like you're not worthy to have to do all of this menial work." And Wesley said, "Well, I did notice that you all sang and were happy when you was given the most rotten jobs on the ship." Boy, I'm preaching every one of us under the bench today. Come on. Hey. I got one finger going at you. I got God and Holy Ghost, Son, and all the family just coming at me. Because I've not arrived yet. Now, I'm doing better than I used to be, just like some of you that are growing in grace. See, I just didn't get saved to get my fire insurance in order. I got born again in order not just to go to heaven, but to bring heaven to earth where those that are lost would want my Jesus. Are you listening? Hallelujah. Now, if we meet anybody in here today that says they've arrived, we'll have an altar for them. I'm going to be nice. Storytellers. I usually say that other word. Yeah. And you know what? When Wesley got back to England, he went down Aldersgate Street looking for the man that he had talked to on the ship, the Moravian by the name of Peter Bowler. And Peter Bowler on Aldersgate Street was preaching from the Epistle to the Romans. And he sat there and all of a sudden he said, "My heart grew strangely warm. I did trust Christ," he said. "I did make him my Savior." And he and his brother changed the world after that. And sister that did the music, God bless you. You did a good job. Do you know what history says? That John Wesley and his brother won more people with their music than they did their sermons. That's exactly what history says. Yes. Amen. Paul said in verse 2 Timothy 3, closing with this. "But know this, that in the last," or the last days, and we're living in them, "perilous times will come. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, look at that, having a form of godliness. I said having a form of godliness. A form with no power. And that very scripture backs up what William Booth of the Salvation Army said way over 100 years ago. Lynn, where's that little brown? Hold on a minute. Y'all bear with me. Listen to what he said, what kind of world we live in just before the coming of the Lord. And what you're needing this message, because it's going to help you to do what you need to do concerning walking with God in these troubled times, and not allowing yourself to be troubled in the trouble. Amen. William Booth said of the Salvation Army, the chief danger that confronts the coming century. Then he was only talking about the 1900s, you see. Are you hearing me? Now he's talking about the 20s, the 2000s. Listen to this. The chief danger of the coming centuries, I'll just put it this way, will be religion without the Holy Ghost, Christianity without Christ, forgiveness without repentance. Hold on just a minute. I tell them at the house, I tell myself, I tell everybody, just to say you're sorry is not repentance. No, sir. No, sir. You have to have what Paul said, I believe it was Romans 7, where he said that godly sorrow worketh the gift of repentance. When you get so godly sorry over a habit, a sin, well, I just happened to look back, and I'm not going to let you know where I was looking and who I was looking at, because it may just be that person made something flip in my heart. But it's like I walked up to this woman several years ago, look here, and said these words to her, "Lady, the man will never hit you again with his fist." I said that. And she began to weep. You know what she said? Years later, "He never hit me again." You know why? He got a touch from God, and he wasn't just sorry that he hit her. He repented. And repentance means now he was going south with the devil hitting his wife. Now he's going to go north for God and do something for the Lord. A repentance is an about turn. It's hating what you've loved, and it's now you start loving what you once hated. Oh, I have to read the Bible. Oh, I have to go to church. You know why? You know why you hate going reading the Bible and going to church? And you know why you hate the preacher talking about tithing? Because that's not your nature. When you get born again, that'll be your nature. And that's all you'll want to do. Amen. I never did have Arthur Parr down at Arcade on the way to Athens ever call me up on a Friday evening and say, "Milton, are you going to bring that 68 GTO down here where we can load that trunk full of beer?" He didn't have to call me to tell me I'd find out if I was coming, because my God let me get out of school. I'm headed for Arcade to load that thing down with booze, because that's what I am. Now, if the day ever comes that I start loading the car down with booze again, I must have reverted back to type. I must have went back. I'm like the dog that went to the vomit, the Bible says, in Peter, Proverbs, and like the hog that went to the wallah. Hogs like mud. Sheep like cleanliness. Amen. Repentance. A form of godliness. Listen to what else he said. He said we'd have a Christianity without Christ, forgiveness without repentance. Look here. Politics without God, salvation without regeneration. Listen to this. And a heaven and no hell. That's why it's going to be dangerous, and that's why it is dangerous. Listen to this. Having a form of godliness, but denying its power, from such people turn away. For of this sort are those who creep into households and make captives of gullible women, loaded down with sins, led away by various lusts, always learning. That's the other real dangerous issue. 24-hour AM/FM gospel. Ever imagined medium in the world? Ever imagined medium? Church on every corner, always learning, but never coming to the intimacy of the truth. Let me tell you something. You can know all about food and starve, slap to death. You have to put it in your mouth. You have to pick it up and put it in your mouth and eat it. Even if it's like Ezekiel said, it was bitter when I was eating, but when it got there, it turned to honey. Oh, Lord, I felt the Holy Ghost in, brother. Hey, man, there's honey in the rock. Now, as Jannes and Jambres resisted Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, disapproved concerning the faith, but they will progress no further, for their folly will be manifest to all, as there also was. But you have carefully followed my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, love, perseverance, persecutions, afflictions, which happened to me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra. What persecutions I endured. Matter of fact, you cannot endure persecutions and you cannot endure hardness as a good soldier, like Paul told Timothy, unless you rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. And in everything he said to give thanks. He didn't say give thanks for everything. But he said in everything give thanks, for this, the giving of thanks, is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus. Amen. I said amen. Hallelujah. And yes, and out of them all, the Lord delivered me. Yes, and all who desire to be godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. Evil men will and imposters will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But you must continue in the things which you've learned and been assured of, knowing that whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith which is in Jesus Christ. And all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. Can you give me a few minutes? Prince of Preachers. How about the Prince of Preachers, Charles Spurgeon? Listen to this. And then we're going to pray for everybody that's unsure of their salvation. Anybody that got away from God, Lord, that don't be down on yourself. That happens to people. Amen. The Bible said a righteous man will get up seven times if he falls. Amen. It's like Jesus when they all backslid and Peter denied him three times. And when Jesus went looking for his disciples after resurrection, he said, go tell my disciples and Peter that I'm looking for him. Listen to what he said on May the 3rd. He's been dead ever since the late 1890s. Are you asking, he said, well, this was his text, in the world you'll have trouble. John 16:33. Are you asking the reason for this, believer? Look upward to your heavenly Father and behold him pure and holy. Do you know that one day you are to be like him? Will you be easily conformed and brought into his very image? Won't you require much refining to purify you? Will it, or is it an easy thing to get rid of your corruptions and make you perfect, even as your Father in heaven is perfect. And that's what Jesus said. Be ye perfect as my Father in heaven is perfect. Next, turn your eyes downward, believer. Do you know what foes you have beneath your feet? You were once a servant of Satan, and no prince, even Satan, will always leave you alone. No, he'll be after you, for he prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour, and I might add, trying to get that person back that got delivered from his clutches. Amen? Christian, expect trouble. Then look around you. Look around, he said. He said, look to God, then look down. Then he said, look around, Spurgeon said. Where are you now? You're in enemy country. You're a stranger. You're a sojourner, a pilgrim in a strange land. This world isn't your home, and it's not your friend. If it is, then you're not the friend of God. That's the scripture. The Bible says anybody makes himself a friend of this world. He's not talking about rabbits and flowers and squirrels and beautiful things. He's talking about the satanic system that controls most of the people in the world. If you're a friend of that world, you're an enemy of God. Be assured that you will find enemies everywhere. Lastly, look within yourself, into your own heart, and observe what you find there. Sin and self are still within. If you had no devil to tempt you, listen to this, if there was no devil to tempt you, no enemies to fight you, no world to tempt you and ensnare you, you'd still find in yourself enough evil to trouble you. The heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. Expect trouble, but don't be discouraged and don't despair over it. God has said, I will be with you in trouble. Call unto me and I will answer thee. And I will deliver you and honor you. Amen. 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 Thank you, Lord. Now I might add one thing that Spurgeon, being a Calvinist, did not preach, and that was sanctification. I do not find, after almost 50 years, I don't find as the same amount of sin and corruption in my life that was there 50 years ago, because I've been growing in grace and I've been putting off the old man with his evil deeds, and I've been putting on the new man which is created in true righteousness and holiness. Am I quoting it word for word? Amen. And I've been considering myself dead to sin, book of Romans chapter 6. I've been considering myself, he said, we are to reckon. He must have been a southern, I reckon. Hey, I reckon myself to be dead unto sin and alive unto God through Jesus Christ. See, yeah, we can live a holy life. We can live above sin. We can do it if we will make up our mind to not concentrate on the trouble, but concentrate on him who is in charge of our victory, who said he'd never leave us. Amen. And not allow ourselves to be troubled. Amen. To be troubled. My granny always said, why worry when you can pray? I might add another one to hers. Why be troubled when you can pray? Hallelujah. When you can praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There's probably most of you have never been with me to Union Grove Campground that comes used to come before COVID at Cleveland, Georgia, every last of July and first of August. Oh, my God. I like to get up there on the stage, and they'll sing, and I'll shout and twirl and run and dance. And little Milton does my running for me now. He can run like Forrest Gump. My God, it's a sight to behold. And I had a lady come up to me, Rita. She said, you know what she said? I wish I was like you. I never had no trouble. I said, what made you say that? She said, well, you dance and shout and hoot and holler and praise God and laugh in the Holy Ghost. I said, lady, I had to fight a whole sack full of Belgian tigers to get here. I'm going to enjoy my time with God. No, it ain't been easy. That's not been easy. That's not been easy. But Danny, I learned how to lay hold of him who loves me, who said he'd never leave me, not tribulation, not distress, not trouble, not principalities, not powers, not any height, not any depth, not any creature, not anything would be able to separate me from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. You say, well, you're stuck. Well, pull it down in grandma. We don't know what that is, do they, Danny? They don't have no straight shifts now. But my God, if you got to, pull her down in grandma. Pull her down in a lower gear. Amen. And hang on. Hang on. You're going through problems, troubles, and you have, like all of us have, we've allowed ourselves to be troubled in these times and things that's happened. But I quote from Corrie Ten Boom, whom she and her sister and her daddy and family was sent to a concentration camp for hiding Jews during World War II. And here they were, Dutch people, but they had abused. The old man said they've abused God's children, the apple of his eye. And we owe them people refuge, and they caught them doing it. And in that prison, with all of them dead, including Betsy, but her, she wrote these words: there is no pit too deep. There is no hell too hot. There is no trouble too hard. There is no darkness that can separate us from the power and the love of God, that his love is not deeper still than the pit. When you dig for God, you find God at the bottom. Amen. To help you up. Amen. Are you hearing me? Amen. Father, thank you. You've got this church ready to face the fight, to face the war. You said in Chronicles that the war was of God. Well, if it's God's war, then God wins his war, and security and victory is secured for us that fight with God's in God's war. You said to Jehoshaphat that we were to not be afraid, that we were not allow ourselves to be afraid, that we were to look unto you, O God, because you said Jehoshaphat said, we have no might or no strength against this enemy, but our eyes are upon thee. And God said, stand still, hold your peace. The battle is the Lord's. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord among you. God, as we pursue like David when all had been stolen, shall I pursue my wife? Shall I pursue my family? Shall my soldiers pursue the enemy and all of our possessions that were taken away while we were fighting for you? And God said, pursue. You shall recover all. This morning, oh God, I'm believing you for a recovery of all. Salvation for the lost. Right relationship for the one that's been backslid and away from you. Healing and deliverance for that one, oh God, that needs a miracle. Encouragement for the children and the saints of God. Father, meet every need this morning. While they're playing, I'd like for every person in this church, whether you're a sinner or a backslider, it doesn't matter. Whether you're just a blood-washed child of God, whether you're a visitor, I'd like for you to all get up and come to the altar and just make your own personal time with God right up here in this altar. I would like it if everybody would come, if they can, find a place to pray. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Expect a miracle this morning. Expect a miracle this morning. God's going to touch you where you are. Come and talk to him. Mean business with him. Yes, be honest with God. He knows your heart. He knows what your needs are even before you ask. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. David said, let the wicked forsake his way, the unrighteous man his thoughts, and return unto the Lord. Return unto the Lord. Pray like David, O God, it's against you and you only that I've sinned and done this evil in your sight. O God, wash me and I shall be clean. Purge me, O God, and I'll be whiter than snow. O God, he said, don't take your Holy Spirit from me. Renew a right spirit within me. He said, renew a right spirit within me. Then I'll teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto you. The Lord would say unto you while you are seeking his face, come with open face, come with an open heart. Nothing you would say to admit with your mouth or with your thoughts is beyond my knowledge. For I already know where you've sinned and come short of my glory. I already know the things that you have done good, and I'm well pleased. But this day, come clean with me. Let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they should be as white as wool. Come, let us reason together. I do not long to harm you. I do not long to hurt you. I am a God of mercy, and you're living in a day of great mercy and great grace. So put that into practice this morning by saying, God, I accept your grace. I accept your mercy. I accept your love and understanding and your compassion. Tell him. I accept the way that you've made for me today. Christ, you've made him the way for me today. Jesus, I come to you now, Jesus. Make intercession for me now at the right hand of the Father, for I'm needy. As I'll come through here and lay my hands upon you, that's your point of contact for anything you need, spirit, soul, body, it does not matter. When I lay my hand on you, you receive from the Lord in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, I bind every devil. I bind every lying spirit that would try to deceive anybody into believing that they're right when they are not. That they're a Christian when they are not. Satan, you thief and you robber, I break your power in the name of Jesus. You loose the minds and hearts of the people where they can reason with God now. Lord, let your prevenient grace rest upon each mind and heart. Open their hearts to receive. Like the disciples that was discouraged on the road to Emmaus, the Bible said that you open their hearts. Because they said to you, we're sad. Don't you know that our Savior's been killed? Don't you know that it was He that we had hoped was the King of Israel? And Jesus went on to reveal Himself to them and open their understanding where they could comprehend and understand the Scriptures that He had to suffer. That he had to bleed and die. That he was resurrected from the dead for them. Raised for our justification. Come on, folks. He sees where you're sad and hurting and oppressed and grieved and troubled. Like those disciples that was on the road to Emmaus in Luke 24. He was so concerned about them. He said, why are you so sad? He came and said to him, why is your heart so troubled? Why are you troubled? When he showed them in the upper room his hands and his side and his feet, where the nails had been. They said, "It's the Lord," and they were joyful and full of courage. Jesus, reveal yourself to everyone in this place. Reveal your wounded hands, your wounded side, the blood of Calvary. Reveal it to every person. Let the blood that can only wash away our sins and that can give us justification before God, let it work miraculously now. In the name of Jesus, open heart right now. I really feel this. Jesus is opening your heart to receive. Lynn, lay your hand on this.